fucking libs.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, all kinds of questions. Okay, yeah, this is going to be good now, right? This is going to be good.
I can't wait.
And I've been lucky enough to be talking to this man on the radio for well over a decade now, I think.
Okay.
And you get some real good stuff, some good information. Years ago, running different hotels in Vegas, but this man, Johnny Avello, this man is
That's a name.
But listen to the title. Like, there's Johnny Avello, and that's a name, but listen to the title now. Director of Sports Operations at DraftKings. Sounds like somebody you might want to know. You know what I mean?
It sounds like one of those elite lounge singers. Coming up now on the bronze stage, the classic stylings of Johnny Avello.
Johnny, have you ever sung on stage before?
I don't think you want that to happen.
I think I do.
I definitely do.
I think I do. But
I'm a bad singer, guys. Just listen to my voice. It's groggy and it's got a. Yeah, it's just never. It's not made for singing. It's not made for anything, to be honest with you.
I tell you what, sitting down with an old fashioned on the rocks and listening to a gravelly voice on stage, I could do it. But anyway, let's talk about something else, Johnny. And thank you very much for coming on. Always appreciate it, especially as the season gets going. I think this is where a lot of people's minds are right now as we approach with the holdouts. Of Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams, how is that affecting 49ers odds?
Well, it's affecting their odds on game one. I think if those two were going to play, you're going to see the spread move up probably a point and a half, possibly two. We have it set, their future book odds, at 6-1. We have them set where if they do play, that's going to drop a little, and if they don't play, it's going to be raised up. So we're kind of like in the middle right now, waiting to hear the decision, just staying on top of it. And, you know, if the better wants to bet it at with the price that it is and take a chance that they know what's going to happen, that's wide open for them to do so. So that's how we position ourselves sometimes. If we don't know, we just kind of stick it in the middle of a couple of numbers that we think it should be.
Are you more reluctant to change futures odds for season and division and Super Bowl and conference based on some of these micro holdouts?
More interested in game lines. You know, futures are a long season. Even with, you know, the full array of players, that doesn't mean you're going to win it. So more interested in game one than we are, you know, looking down the road 3-4 months from now, because other players could get hurt and everything could change. And even if you're at you know, full capacity and your team is 100% healthy, that still doesn't mean you're going to win it. But game one is important, because without those guys, I think those two guys you mentioned are big impact on this team.
Yeah, no, there's no question about that. Although what's sort of the umbrella response from you if you hear people say, you know, Brandon Ayuk is replaceable? Like, if you did look at this as a season-long thing, how does it kind of affect the 49ers if he's just not a part of the season?
I don't think he is replaceable, to be honest with you. Yeah, you can have somebody fill in, and they could do a decent job, at the maybe even a good job. This is a great, great wide receiver. You need a guy like, it's not like this is Mahomes at the quarterback position, guys. You know, with the Chiefs, it seems like they get the job done with two players and a coach. And so as long as they have those two players and a coach, it seems like they can throw any piece in there and make it happen. That's not the case with the 49ers. We're looking at a quarterback who we're still trying to figure out if he's better than average or he's really good. And I'm not sure which one of those two it is yet.
And when you look at quarterbacks around the league, obviously Mahomes makes the biggest impact on a point spread if he's not playing. But where does Brock Purdy fall in that? If you get to the Monday game against the Jets and it comes out that Brock Purdy's not going to be able to go, what's the general point spread movement going to be for Brock Purdy missing a game?
I think Brock Purdy's worth about 3 or 4 points. I think Mahomes worth 10. A lot has to do with where the game is, who they're playing, and who the backup is. So let's look at the Chiefs. Really, without Mahomes, I don't think anybody's scared of them. So that point spread would tumble down. If they were 10-point favorite at home and he didn't play, that thing would be close to a pick'em, or maybe if Chiefs a small favorite, depending on who the opponent is. But you know, with Brock Purdy, I think it's a four number, three or four. I think that's all it is.
Johnny Avello, Director of Sports Operations, DraftKings, with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Johnny, let's dive into some of those individuals a little bit further. You said Mahomes is worth 10. Who are some of the other quarterbacks that are the highest numbers in the league?
Josh Allen would be one. He's probably a 7-8. He's probably an 8. You know, we got Baltimore's quarterback. He's probably a 7-8. So those guys are probably at the top of the list. it's funny when you take, you know, you take an older quarterback and who's probably have high expectations, and he may be worth maybe 3 points, maybe two. If you've got a good backup, let's look at the Raiders, for instance. The Raiders, maybe the drop off between the one and the two starter might be only a couple of points too. So it really depends on who the team is. And the star, if the quarterback's the guy that makes it all happen, then he's worth so much more.
When you're looking at non-quarterback line movement, is Christian McCaffrey the most impactful offensive skill guy in terms of playing or not playing on a line move?
I would say yes. He's certainly one of the top guys. He certainly makes an impact on all the proposition bets. When we look at first touchdown score, anytime touchdown score, I would say he's probably bet more than anyone else. He's also a favorite to score a touchdown in a game. Sometimes he's a favorite to score the first touchdown in the game. So he's a rare commodity over a lot of other players in the league.
Johnny Avello, Director of Sports Operations, DraftKings. What about teams? Johnny, who's seeing the most action, and where do the 49ers rank?
The Chiefs are seeing this is unusual this year, because the Chiefs always do see a lot of action, but they're seeing more than ever to start the season. There's a lot of believers out there that think they can win this thing three in a row. And maybe there's a Taylor Swift factor there. Maybe she has something to do with bringing more noise, more attention to the Kansas City Chiefs. So we're seeing a pretty good pop on them all since we opened it up after the last Super Bowl. The Jets, and there's high expectations for them from probably mostly Jet fans and a lot of Jet fans around the country. There's also Houston. I mean, they have all the pieces. Let's face it. The question is, can the quarterback C.J. Stroud in a sophomore season, can he perform like he did in the freshman season? So that's going to be the key to that team. But if you look at all the positions, they're all covered. They have all the bases covered. So it's a quality team that we had at 24-1 at one time. They're down to 16. And there's a lot of other teams. Then there's some teams that are getting just no attention whatsoever. Minnesota's one of those. Giants are, you know, there's not a lot of interest except maybe from Giants fans. Washington, no one cares about them. And others with some really long odds. Carolina.
Is there a team that you see out there that you're surprised hasn't garnered more action? Like perhaps Chicago, a team that many people are high on. Is there another team out there that you would say is right now undervalued in the market?
Well, Chicago at 35-1 was a little higher, and they are taking some money as of late. You know, going 4-0 in the preseason. They look pretty good in the preseason, and I think they're going to have a pretty good Chicago year. I mean, Chicago years haven't been good, and I think this one is capable of being 8, possibly 9 wins. I'm not sure they can get there all the way, not this first year for him at quarterback. But I think that they're capable of having a really good season. Now, their total wins have been bet over. We had them at 8.5 and went as high as 9. Now it's 9.5, so they're certainly getting some attention. So that's a team that's still sitting at 35. Do I think they believe they can win it all? No, I don't. I think the division's really tough. You got to get by Detroit, and you got to get by Green Bay, who was supposed to also have a quality year. So, there's some teams. I mean, if you want to get out, if you want to get past the first 8-10 teams, you're looking at teams that you're really, it's a crapshoot. You're saying, here's a team that's 50-60 to 1. I believe that I see something that others don't see, and they're gonna have a good start and go 4-0 or 5-1 out the box, and they might win 10-11 games and get some real good value. And there's a lot of teams out there, but that all comes down to me, it's a guessing game if you really believe that some of those outsiders can make that type of a move.
Johnny, it was a few weeks ago that Kyle Shanahan, and he was talking about his roster as a whole, but he referenced the fact that the 49ers are favored in every game, in all of the look-ahead lines. Wow. With all of the discord that's been going on, is that still true? And then what's the likelihood that something like that sticks throughout the entire season?
No, they probably won't be. I mean, sure, they are going into the season, but there's going to be something that happens during the season where the starting quarterback doesn't play, or there's an injury to a couple offensive linemen or defensive backs. So there's going to be a game where they don't have the full team, and they're going up against a team that we thought would maybe be 3-3 after six games, but they're 5-1 after six games, and they're at home in this spot, and the 49ers don't have the full roster. Those things are going to happen. So I wouldn't expect them to be the favorite in every game.
Johnny, great stuff. Director of Sports Operations at DraftKings, and they got a new promotion that's live in California that you can check out, the Pick 6, where you can get basically $50 in free credits for whatever you're doing. So check that out. And, Johnny, thank you very much.
Hey, guys, good talking to you. Have a fine night.
Okay.
Thank you, Johnny.
Johnny Avello, the Director of Sports Operations at DraftKings, says Brandon Ayuk is irreplaceable. And, again, look, this fluctuates from house to house and from day to day, but when we first started looking at Niners-Jets about a week and a half ago, five and a half,
yep.
It is now 3.5.
Okay.
Take that for what you will. I know how I responded to that. I responded to that by betting on the 49ers. I think getting them at 3.5 right now is a huge steal against the New York Jets. That's because I remain firmly optimistic that Trent Williams will play in that football game, and I'm very comfortable with the number 3.5 if Brandon Ayuk does not play in that game. But that's me.
Yeah.
That's where it sits. That's where the movement is. And then we can get to the Purdy thing that he talked about, because that's pretty interesting too.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to ask him about the line movement based on Brock Purdy. And he said, nah, 3 or 4, but yeah. Mahomes is 10. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
So Mahomes is not playing and the Chiefs are favored by 10. Now all of a sudden it's a pick'em. And I do think that part of that is the value over replacement player, and there is no replacement for Patrick Mahomes. And if Brock Purdy's out and you go to Dobbs or Brandon Allen, I don't know if they've decided who the real backup is. I know both made the team, and Tanner Mordecai did not, and they hope to get him back on the practice squad. But I think the idea of Brock Purdy only being 3 or 4, and Lucas Alexander, our director of sports, with a good question in my ear about the big impact of a non-quarterback player like Christian McCaffrey. And yeah, McCaffrey would be one of those players from a skill position standpoint who would be most impactful on the spread if he was out.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, we didn't even talk about this earlier. Quick aside, since you brought it up, the whole hand-wringing about who's going to be the backup quarterback, they kept them both.
Yeah, they kept them both.
Brandon Allen and Josh Dobbs both made the team. And I don't know if this is for anything, but like those reporters who tweeted out the roster, there is some sort of unofficial depth charting, if you will, with the way they wrote it. And Brandon Allen's name is second. Josh Dobbs' name is third.
It's alphabetical.
I don't know. But
if you look at
Brock Purdy's name is first.
Because he's QB1.
Right, but I don't know if it's just, is it automatically alphabetical? Here's the running backs. Christian McCaffrey is followed by Mason, not followed by Garindo, because Jordan Mason is RB2.
Yeah, exactly.
RB2. In fact, Garendo is listed fourth. Sometimes there's a, hey, you're a rookie, so you stay down here at the bottom of the chart. Maybe sometimes it's alphabetical. Maybe it means something. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
But they both made the team.
And I guess it depends what you're looking at, what your source is, because I'm looking at the 49ers.com, and they did a full breakdown, and it's Purdy followed by Dobbs and Brandon Allen. And then you go to running back, and it's McCaffrey, Mason, Taylor, and Garendo. So I do think that it is a little depth charty, and, you know, wide receivers, Debo, and then they do it in numerical order. It's all numerical order, actually. Debo, Ronnie Bell, Ayuk, Pearsall, Jawan, Conley, and Jacob Cowan.
Yeah,
so.
See, I see it from the reporters. It's listed differently, which is Samuel and Ayuk, followed by Jawan Jennings, because he's WR3.
Right.
And then it goes Pearsall, Cowan, Conley, Bell. Yeah,
I'm
whatever.
Just looking at 49ers.com.
Maybe it's completely random.
Yeah, 49ers.com, and I'm looking at every position, and so far they all are numerical, starting with the starter. Like the quarterbacks, it's Dobbs, Purdy, and Allen, listed in a graphic in that order. And we know that Purdy's the starter, but you know, you keep it consistent, keep it numerical, and then people can draw their own conclusions.
That's a question for John Lynch tomorrow anyway. And he will speak at 2:45.
Yeah.
And we did sort of scratch our heads yesterday when we found out about that. Like, oh, why does John want to talk? And we did find out last night that is, I don't know, our memories are just, you know, our memories. Same way you can't remember what you had for breakfast. Apparently, John does this every year. However, this one stands to be more interesting than most.
No, and there are other questions outside of Brandon and Trent, like two tight ends. Is this what we're doing?
That's it.
You're
drafting them, you're signing them, and you're keeping none.
You're keeping two.
Yeah.
So are you expecting to have one of these guys be able to pop free and add them later? Because I don't know how you're going to do a lot of 22 personnel with two tight ends and you only have two guys. You better hope they both stay healthy.
Well, I look at this roster right now, and I see movement on it before the game starts.
Sure.
I see movement on it before the game starts. Like, if Brandon Ayuk gets figured out, are you still keeping Ronnie Bell? Maybe. Is he returning kicks for you? Maybe.
Ronnie Bell? I doubt it.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, he's one of the guys that you put back there one time or another with the idea of fielding punts. Is it going to be Cowing? Maybe.
And Garendo, too, had a huge kick return.
Yeah. So, like, I think that there, you know, is Pearsall going to be active week one? Like, there's all kinds of questions. And we'll talk to Jake Hutchinson about that next hour. And obviously, we'll hear from John Lynch on it tomorrow. So, we'll get into all of that. But the Purdy part is the other interesting part. And this is why I do predict that next offseason is going to be loud and at times troublesome and debatable and all of those things. You know, we're going to sit here and go, no, it's automatic. Brock Purdy has a good year. He resets the QB market. Yet Vegas sits here and tells you that Patrick Mahomes swings a point spread by 10, Josh Allen by 8, Lamar Jackson by 8, Brock Purdy by 3 or 4. Does that mean something? I don't know if in big-time negotiations the Vegas odds come into play. I would doubt it. But at the same time, he's sitting there telling us that even though the Niners don't, in theory, have a top-level backup anymore. They went top of the market to have Sam Darnold on the team last year. He was their backup, and we literally did shows on whether or not there'd be a drop-off if Brock Purdy got hurt, which became, in the end, I think, an evident answer. But now it's not Sam Darnold. And we can like Josh Dobbs all we want or Brandon Allen in the system, but neither one of them presents something that to me suggests there's no drop-off. I think there's a huge drop-off, but Vegas thinks it's only a field goal.
Yeah, and you know, 3 or 4, and that's because of the maybe not the quality of the backup, but the quality of the offense and the quality of the players around it. I do think that still remains a part of the conversation as we get into the offseason about contracts and also about this year. And you know, the shade that Brock Purdy gets, a lot of it is because of Kyle Shanahan, the talent around him, and the offense and the scheme. So can Brandon Allen or Josh Dobbs come in and hold things down for a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, if that's what he misses? Sure. And you could probably still win football games. Doesn't mean you're going to get as far, but Sam Darnold is more accomplished, more highly drafted than these two. He had done more in the league, and now he's a starter in Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, accidentally to a certain degree, but yeah.
He might have won the job anyway.
Maybe for the start, but I mean, you draft somebody in the top 10, you're going to give him the job.
Eventually,
you're going to want J.J. McCarthy and Justin Jefferson to start getting their groove on together and find out if that's your guy. So yeah, he was a placeholder. I get that. All right, that leads us to this. Let's do this, okay? Because it caught my attention this morning. It's not new, but I feel the need to sort of get this a little bit off my chest. And so we would love to hear from you on this. I need to understand, and I will admit a weakness. I need for this to not get under my skin so much, because it really does. It really does. Okay? 888-957-9570. And my question is going to be basically, Niner fan base, do you feel like the Niner fan base is fair to Kyle Shanahan? The morning show, Bonte's not here. Spadonuts and Shasky this morning are playing around with a fun question. When I say Kyle Shanahan, you say, and then fill in the blank. And we have a list of some of the answers that came in. And I find them to be some of the most absolutely ridiculous, borderline offensive. Now, maybe you're just being playful, and that's kind of what I want to get at. Are you just being playful, or do you mean this? When I say Kyle Shanahan, you say choke. You say not a finisher. You say gets to the end but fails. You say hot seat. You say stubborn arrogance. You say overrated. You say ego. Is that really what you think of Kyle Shanahan?
Damn good coach, but entitled rich kid vibe. That's my favorite.
All right.
Possibly.
888-957-9570. Like, let's be real. Is that really what you think? Some of you. I know a lot of you don't. Is that really what you think of Kyle Shanahan? We got some more to say on this. 888-957-9570, the number. Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to
Willard and Dibs
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy. You can join 95.7 The Game personalities at Harding Park Friday, September 6th. Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament. Benefiting the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 957thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ATCO Pest Control, Bay Area's local family-owned pest control company. Hi, everybody.
Yeah.
How are we doing?
We're doing great. I do just want to take a brief moment, a quick aside
take a moment.
Wish my lovely wife Supper a happy birthday on this day of days.
What is today? August 27th?
Yeah. She turned today. Yep.
Yeah.
And we'll go ahead and keep that off the air, but
I can't even make a reference. She's turning my favorite number.
That's great.
My second favorite number.
She'd probably rather you didn't, and we had a
I won't tell everybody what my favorite number is, but I have a reason for it.
This morning was a negotiation sensation as it pertains to her birthday. Because I told her, knowing that she's a very private person, I said, I'm going to give you the biggest, sloppiest, healthiest Facebook shout-out you've ever seen.
Oh, God, I thought you were going to talk about a sloppy, wet kiss for a second.
No.
God.
I mean, that's behind closed doors, but I told her, I'm like, I'm going on social media, and the world is going to know, and she said, you had better not.
What if we made the whole show about her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually...
Hey, sup, we figured out a way to not talk about Brandon IU. We're going to talk about you!
Yeah, that would not be popular.
No?
But and then I said, can I just at least give you an on-air shout-out? And she said, you can do that. Keep it under a minute.
Okay.
Make sure it's a quick aside.
Yeah.
So happy birthday, Supper.
Happy birthday, Supper.
We call her Supper because she calls dinner Supper.
Supper. Does she still?
Yeah.
Even with the kid?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I see. I thought that would have gone away. Because no. Supper with a two-year-old. Nobody's got a white tablecloth and we're clinking glasses and, oh, how was your day? No, we're not doing that.
No,
we're,
but we do cheers on almost every bite.
We're trying to stay alive.
We cheers that way she eats. So we'll do like a broccoli cheers and we'll do like a like a chicken cheers. Because if, you know, if you're going to cheers the baby now, she's going to eat it.
She's going
to
eat it?
Because then it's there's ceremony behind it. Maybe. So sometimes when you're trying to get a two-year-old to eat, you come up with all these cockamamie things.
I've been trying to still do it with my 10-year-old, right, for crying out loud. We've been in deep, deep negotiations over the last 24 hours over what that guy will put in his stomach.
Yep.
Hell.
Try the cheers modality. Let's do a pizza cheers.
Yeah, let's go.
He might be into it.
But cheers your smoothie that has all the good stuff in it that I stick in there because you won't eat any of the good stuff in any other form.
Good call.
Yeah.
Dad, I want to cheers you.
Why does the smoothie get greener every day? Because you won't eat your vegetables. That's why, buddy.
Totally.
Anyway. All right. Well, happy birthday, Supper.
Yeah, thank you.
Happy 28th birthday.
There you go, attaboy. That's Buster, your favorite number. Buster Posey.
I just made it up.
You nailed it.
Yeah. Threw it out there. Nailed it. All right.
Old stretch.
Okay. Speaking of family, I think I sort of figured it out. And I get it. I'm just an insufferable homer. I know. But I think I figured out the equation for at least one of the people, for Kyle Shanahan. I know. I sleep at his house in his guest room, and I carry his bag, and I see all your fun comments. You're great, great humorists, each and every one of you. It's lovely. Here's the real. You want to know why it bothers me so much when people take shots at Kyle Shanahan, somebody who, by his mid-40s, has walked into an organization that was stuck in Tom Sula, Chip Kelly hell. I wish Bruce Bochy was coaching the Niners back then. He walked in and immediately started a process that has made the 49ers essentially one of the final four teams every single year. Every year, as long as their quarterback is upright, and sometimes even when multiple quarterbacks are not upright, you still end up in the final four. I would never say anyone's perfect because no one is. So there is not a coach, there is not a general manager that hits on every pick, calls every play correctly. That doesn't exist. So put all of that silliness aside for a second. But I think I figured it out. And again, this is inspired by fun question that the morning show played with today. Spadoni was in for Bonte. So the two Joes sat here and threw this out to callers. When I say Kyle Shanahan, you say blank. Now, I'm not going to act like every single one of you was mean and idiotic, because some of you said great coach. Some of you said offensive savant. Okay? Some of you said those things. But more of you, and this is sports radio, but more of you said stuff like hot seat, which is... like, provably false.
More closely to a not seat. The man is standing up.
Correct, and will be for a while. Some of you said stubborn arrogance, not a finisher, plays not to lose, three quarters coach, choke, Super Bowl choke. This is what apparently at least some of you think is Kyle Shanahan. I heard one caller. Now, he admitted he's not a Niner fan. He goes, I'm not a Niner fan. That's why I want you to keep y'all's coach, because your coach is garbage.
I don't see garbage on here.
Here's why this bothers me so much. As a parent, we mess up every single day. We have stupid things trigger us every single day. We're at the end of our rope. We're exhausted. All of that stuff. So I try to whittle down how to pick my battles, and here's the battle I choose with my kids. This is number one rule. And I don't have a lot of rules. I already told you. I got four buckets of ice cream in the freezer. People are not getting to bed on time. It's a hot flipping mess over there. But I do have one thing that I will take a hammer and pound into their head.
Number one.
Do you not dare sit in this house in Marin County, California, and tell me about what you don't have. Don't do that. I will not let you have that kind of a global view. You do not get to sit here and act like you ain't one of the luckiest mofos on the planet. It's all boiled down to one word, gratitude. And I will not allow the lack of it in the house. And I finally cracked my stupid code. That's why I get so annoyed when I hear people rip Kyle Shanahan. You lack gratitude.
Sure.
You lack football gratitude, and it is literally one of my number one triggers in life. When I watch people, especially here, coastal California, cruise around in life and be all mad and upset and not noticing what you've got. Everybody's got stuff, man. But don't you dare cruise around this town and think like that. And you cannot look at Kyle Shanahan as a 49er fan and not have some gratitude.
Well, you can. You're allowed to.
You're allowed to
use your words.
Yeah, but man, I'm allowed to be annoyed by you then.
You could be annoyed. And I look around the league, and Kyle Shanahan has coached now 7 seasons, and he's made 2 Super Bowls, and he's made 2 other conference championship games. If you want to put his record in 7 years up against any other coach in football, there's one coach that clearly rises above, Andy Reid and the Chiefs. And in that same period of time, they've been to 4 Super Bowls, won 3 of them, and lost 2 other conference championship games. It's one of the greatest runs in NFL history. But even if you want to compare it to Sean McVay and the Rams, he's been there the exact same amount of time. They've been to 2 Super Bowls. They've won 1, which is better than going to 2 and winning 0. But other than that, they haven't made a conference championship game. So if you want to put McVay slightly above Shanahan because they happened to win that Super Bowl and Kyle didn't, okay,
I mean, whatever.
You can do that. But then you go to Philadelphia, and you've got Sirianni, who's really on the hot seat. And before that, you had Doug Peterson. They won a Super Bowl. They went to one other one, but that's it. They don't have another conference championship game. So my greater point is, if you want to compare yourself to Philly, KC, and the Rams, and if you want to put those 3 ahead of you because they've actually won a Super Bowl since he's been around, and you want to put him 4th among coaches since he's been here, well, then I'm with you about the attitude of gratitude, because while he's been here for 7 years, 2 Super Bowl appearances, 2 other conference championship game appearances, he's 4-for-7 in making it to that penultimate weekend at least, and there's only 3 other franchises who can even rival that. Kansas City is far and away above everyone else, but beyond that, you're better than Buffalo, you're better than Miami, you're better than every other franchise in football since he's been here.
Doesn't he have the absolute end-all, be-all chip that he can play? Doesn't he have it?
In that he has Mr. Irrelevant dominating?
He took Jimmy Garoppolo to a Super Bowl.
Well,
Hold on.
Nick Foles won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Within the last 7.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something.
Well, Nick Foles took over a team that was already positioned to go. He didn't take it from beginning to end. Nick Foles went on about...
And that was Doug Peterson,
yep,
who has gone on to be just kind of okay.
Foles went, we're going to remember this as a 5-game heater. You should go back and look at what Nick Foles
actually
did.
It's like Joe Flacco
did
in Baltimore, same thing.
Not even really that. He had some really crappy games in his team, like, you know, who's the Bears kicker who ended up on the Today Show
Cody
or something?
Parkey,
Cody,
right?
Parkey.
The double doink.
Yeah, wasn't that year? I might be remembering incorrectly.
Yeah, they beat Chicago 31-3. That must have been a different
year.
Maybe
it was the following year. Yeah. Whatever it was.
They beat Atlanta 15-10 in the divisional game.
Go look at some of his games. He was not great. He had a phenomenal Super Bowl, obviously,
yeah,
that was totally drunk, where everybody was scoring on every drive.
They lost the regular season finale 6-0 to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
6-0. Did he even play that game?
So, listen.
Nah, that was sudsy.
Listen. I have one of the better L's that I have on my forehead. I think time has shown that much of what I felt at the time about Jimmy Garoppolo was probably not accurate. Jimmy Garoppolo should not have been kept over Tom Brady. Jimmy Garoppolo, though you get credit for what you are doing in the moment, and he still deserves that, Jimmy Garoppolo has proven now long-term to not be a great NFL quarterback. Was he good at times? Yeah, sure, maybe. Whatever. Doesn't matter. He has not proven to be a high-level NFL quarterback. I certainly thought he deserved credit for it at the time. It still happened, so I guess you get the credit. But when you look at what has happened with the remainder of his career, I've always been confused on how you don't look at Kyle Shanahan and go, dog, how'd you do that? How'd you do that? And now you still have people, and I'd argue this is the number one thing working against Brock Purdy, is Jimmy Garoppolo.
It's a big part of it,
because we still sit here confused over whether or not a quarterback is amazing or is he in some way elevated by the coach. And if some of you feel he's elevated by the coach, doesn't that make him the best coach in the game? I've never seen Andy Reid do that. And what would Kyle Shanahan do if he had Patrick Mahomes? Now, you can get mad because he could have had Patrick Mahomes, and he didn't.
He'd be the best hander offer of the football in the NFL is what he'd be, possibly.
Maybe.
Shanahan 35-16 over the last three regular seasons with Garoppolo and then Brock Purdy as your starter.
Three-quarter coach who went into two playoff games last year trailing in the fourth quarter and won them both.
That's true.
I don't know. And maybe we are prone in this world to let the echo chamber get to us. But do some of you feel that way? Like actual Niner fans, do you feel that you've got a choke artist as your head coach? Like, I think you have the best coach in the game. Yes, I said it. I think you have the best coach in the game. If you offered me Andy Reid for Kyle, I'd say no thank you. No thank you. Give me the guy who's 20 years younger and has proven more in his mid-40s than Andy had in his mid-40s. Andy's just got Patrick. He's fantastic, but he has Patrick. He has Patrick. Kyle Shanahan is bumping into the Final Four every year with Garoppolo and Mr. Irrelevant. How is that not a tiebreaker? Especially when they play twice in the Super Bowl and both games are coming down to the last 5 minutes.
And Patrick wins both.
And Andy's got them both with Patrick. So, listen.
Well, we don't know what Patrick would be if he was a Carolina Panther. He might just be another run-of-the-mill quarterback.
Maybe.
Volume thrower.
Andy's great. Andy's great.
He's won three of the last five.
He's always been great,
though. You got to give him his flowers.
Yeah, he's always been great. I thought he was great with Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Like, are you maxing out what you have? And I guess that's where you could argue against Kyle. They should have won last year. That's fair. You can be disappointed. You can be mad that they didn't run the ball. You can be mad about the overtime rule. I'm not going to take any of those things from you. I'm having a broader conversation. I don't understand if that narrative, if that thought process is actually out there for real. Are you a Niner fan? Like a real Niner fan, and you think you have a choker, a three-quarter coach as your guy in Kyle Shanahan. To me, that's just lacking gratitude.
You can have gratitude, but also look at the fact that he's been unable to close in the biggest of spots. And if you want to call him a choker, that feels a little strong to me, but he has not been able to close out Super Bowls either as a coordinator or as a head coach, and I only throw in the coordinator to try to stick it to you a little bit. Willard stuck it in me because you and I both agree that that should not be on his record. They had a 28-9 lead, not 28-3, but 28-9 when his offense got the football back. And, you know, he did all he could to move the ball down the field, and he didn't make any plays because he's not a player. But I don't put that on him. But the two Super Bowls, this last one, this last year, that's the one I think that sticks a little bit more, because you had a team that was good enough and maybe overall better than Kansas City, and you got to overtime and you made a poor choice. And I wonder if, in a private moment, if he's asked, do you want the football now? Would you rather have the football first this time if you get to overtime in the Super Bowl again?
I bet
the answer would be yes.
Maybe, but I do think all of these things, and of course he's stubborn, so he may still say no, because all of these things are a chain link fence. Like, there's no two ways about it. If the right guard doesn't go the wrong way, I feel like Brock Purdy finds Brandon Ayuk standing by himself in the end zone, and now you have the ball first and you put seven on the board. Hell, maybe they would have put eight. I don't know what the hell they would have done. But that changes the Chiefs' next drive. That changes their play calling. That changes how they go about their business, knowing that you get a touchdown or you lose. And if you do get that touchdown, would you go for two? And if you go for two, would you get it? Like, the whole calculus changes.
Yeah, if you score a touchdown.
That's not me defending the decision. I think it's been proven to be, and maybe proven is too strong of a word, but I think history will look on it as a bad decision. But as I've said to you a couple times here, I'm not trying to say he doesn't make bad decisions.
Of course.
Because they all do.
And it's about gratitude, and I think you're right there.
He's
because,
such a good coach.
And you don't have a lot of coaches in the NFL right now who already have a Super Bowl. And I know Doug Peterson is one, but his stock has kind of fallen a little bit. And you mentioned McVay already, and you know Andy's got it as well. So of coaches who have been here as long as Kyle has, his record, regular season and postseason, is among the best outside of Andy Reid.
888-957-9570. How about Alan in Marin? Hey, Alan, thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Great conversation. I love how it kind of devolved from, you know, why did everybody describe Kyle in these pejorative terms on the morning show versus who's the better quarterback, Kyle or Andy Reid? And I get your take, Willard. I mean, your homer takes are among the best homer takes.
Thank you,
that I
Alan.
Can actually listen to.
Thank you.
I mean, they're not terrible because they are grounded in some fact and some form of reality. What I will say is this, though, brother. I mean, the one thing that I think puts Reid at 1 and Kyle at 1A is Reid was smart enough to draft Patrick. So when you keep saying with Patrick, yeah, Reid's winning with Patrick because he was smart enough to draft Patrick. And I'm not saying it was all Shanahan that didn't draft Patrick, but you're using that as a reason to not checkmark Reid's column. It should really be the biggest reason that he is in that column.
Okay, that's a really good, Alan, thank you. That's a very good response. And let's address that for a second. That I look at as a win in Andy's favor. That doesn't make him automatically, that one act, Kyle not drafting Patrick and Andy drafting Patrick, that to me does not end the whole conversation and make Andy the better coach. Especially because, by the way, most people when they're talking about coaching are not referring to drafting. There are a lot of coaches out there that have nothing to do with the draft, or very little, or just some input. But general managers, now Andy and Kyle, yes, they're making the offensive decisions. Did Andy nail quarterback drafting while Kyle largely has not? We can go there. I mean, Kyle has only really tried to go make a franchise QB pick one time, and he whiffed.
Oh, boy.
Wild whiff. And Andy moved up and got Patrick. That's a huge check in his favor.
Kyle moved back and got Solomon Thomas.
Okay. So there you go. That's a huge check in Andy's favor. But when I'm talking about a great coach, I don't automatically think drafting. And I will also respond by saying it's interesting to me. In fact, we've had a few of these texts come in talking. Here it is. 408. Xfinity Mobile text line. Thank you so much for your interaction. How does Shanny get a pass for having a hand in drafting first rounders Kinlaw, Lance, Pearsall, Solomon Thomas? First of all, you're mean for putting Pearsall in there. You have no idea if he nailed that or not. No clue. Secondly, I always wonder about people who list off the misses and you leave out the fact that we're in the middle of contract hell because of all of the people they've nailed in the middle of the draft who are superstars. Best linebacker in the game, third round.
Brandon Ayuk, first rounder, is a fair case.
Brandon Ayuk,
first rounder.
Debo, second. Nick Bosa, first rounder. George Kittle in the fifth. Dre Greenlaw in the fifth. Brock Purdy in the seventh. No credit?
He gets credit, also have to mention Dante Pettis and Jalen Hurd.
Of course.
And, you know, we can play hits and misses all you want,
Andy
and there are
Reid,
more hits than there are misses.
Andy Reid didn't trade for Kadarius Toney?
The reason why I defend Kyle about the Patrick Mahomes non-pick is because if you look at the roster in 2016, the roster he inherited when they were 2-14, they were not in prime position to draft a quarterback in the first round and have that be the elixir. They had so many problems with that roster that I give him a pass for not going out and scouting Patrick Mahomes and and not seeing that he was going to be as good as he turned out to be. And there were nine other teams, by the way, including the Bears, who traded up to get Mitchell Trubisky, yeah, who also didn't draft Patrick Mahomes. So I look at where their roster was at that time, and they were not ready for a quarterback. And it wasn't until, what, 10 games into the year, when they were 1-9, that Shanahan realized that he didn't have the answer in the building, and he went out and got Jimmy Garoppolo.
Do you remember the pre-draft discourse about Patrick Mahomes? Do you remember it?
A little bit of it, yeah.
It was like, the vibe was, dude, he's got a rocket arm. Like, he's got some really interesting attributes, but boy, is he raw. The ball can fly everywhere, you know. Texas Tech, like, yeah, I don't know. And how many quarterbacks went before him?
Just one.
Just one?
Trubisky.
That's it?
Yeah, Deshaun Watson went 12.
Was right after him.
Yep.
Yeah. And when Andy traded up, I also remember this. When the Chiefs traded up to 11 to get him, it was a ooh moment. It was like, whoa, what are they doing? We didn't see that coming. We didn't see it from them. Yeah. And we didn't see that being the guy.
Kansas City traded a first and third round pick, 27-91, and a first round pick the next year to move up to number 10.
They loved him, and they were right. They nailed it.
Yep.
They loved
him. Two firsts and a third to go up from 27 to 10.
All right, 888-957-9570. We can keep this going. And Doc Pandy is going to hop in here with update on the Pearsall situation in the blue jersey. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Willard and Dibs.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.